Je déclare ouverte la 94e séance de l'Assemblée générale. L'Assemblée va maintenant examiner le point 119 de l'ordre du jour intitulé « La stratégie antiterroriste mondiale des Nations Unies ». À cet égard, l'Assemblée est saisie d'un rapport du secrétaire général publié sous la cote A68-841 et d'un projet de résolution publié sous la cote A68-L50. Par sa résolution 66-282 du 29 juin 2012, l'Assemblée a décidé qu'à la présente session, elle examinerait le rapport du secrétaire général et les progrès accomplis par les États membres dans la mise en œuvre de la stratégie et envisagerait d'actualiser celle-ci pour tenir compte des changements survenus. Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to deliver this sermon on behalf of the President of the General Assembly. At the outset, I would like to thank the Minister of Territorial Administration and Security of Burkina Faso and the Deputy Minister of Indonesia, the Philippines, Spain, Tanzania, and Turkey for their participation in today's full review of the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy. I am also grateful to the facilitator of the draft resolution for the fourth review, His Excellency Mr. Halit Cevik, Permanent Representative of Turkey. He has worked assiduously, consulted openly and broadly with member states to arrive at a consensus on draft resolution upon which the General Assembly will take action. Excellencies, the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy is a strategic and comprehensive policy framework to combat terrorism. Adopted by consensus in 2006, it signifies universal condemnation of terrorist violence and provides guidance to member states through its four pillars. It is my hope that this full review of the strategy will lead to comprehensive and balanced implementation on the ground, which remain the primary responsibility of member states, with assistance and support from the United Nations. The review also provides an opportunity to take stock of emerging issues and challenges that have grown in relevance over the recent years and to identify the areas where we need to do things differently or adopt different lines of action. The Secretary General, in his report entitled United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy, Activities of the United Nations System in Implementing the Strategy document, worrying trends in how terrorists operate and how terrorism can spread, including through the exploitation of political turbulence and weak governance. The abuse of the internet and the evolution of terrorist groups from centrally controlled outfits to a diverse set of loose networks. It further observed that long-term success in the global counterterrorism strategy will depend on fuller implementation of Pillar 1 and 4. In this connection, the President convened an interactive dialogue on addressing conditions conducive to terrorism, including through countering the appeal of terrorism. And during the dialogue, participants exchange information on counter-radicalization, de-radicalization and rehabilitation initiatives. Many of these initiatives draw on partnerships comprised of multiple actors, including civil society. These actors have the ability to penetrate vulnerable and marginalized sections of society. They engage directly with communities and their leaders, help build consensus and understanding on local issues, and contribute to socio-economic development. Civil society organizations are also amongst the first to identify an emerging threat or violent narratives. Better collaboration between governments and civil society must be encouraged, and the review provides us with a way to do so. Support with victims of terrorism must also be a key aspect of our collective efforts. Victims to relive the horrors of terrorism every day, long after the media attention has displayed and the attack itself has become a mere memory. The international community must come together to delegitimize terrorism by providing necessary support to victims of terrorism. We need new and innovative response on this front. The UN Victims of Terrorism Support Portal, which was launched yesterday, is an excellent example of concrete and meaningful assistance to victims of terrorism, and I would like to appreciate the efforts of the UN Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force in bringing the portal to fruition. I repeat my call to all states to contribute to the portal. The UN Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force serves as a vital framework to promote consideration and coherence in the organization's work against terrorism and to better assist member states in the implementation of the strategy. The review allows us to underscore and support enhanced coordination across the U.S. system and the central role of the framework. The establishment of the United Nations Counterterrorism Center within the office offers a unique opportunity to seek synergies and leverage resources for the UN counterterrorism work around the world and make a significant contribution to national and regional efforts. It is my hope that it will further enable the UN to strengthen its counterterrorism assistance to member states on the ground. For this effort to ensure that the United Nations respond dynamically and in a more coherent manner to the evolving threat of terrorism, I would like to acknowledge and thank the Secretary General. In particular, I note his effort to mainstream counterterrorism in the overall work of the United Nations system. Ladies and gentlemen, this full review is giving new impetus and urgency by the growth of terrorism in several parts of the world, the evidence of which is fresh in all our minds. The clear lesson to be drawn is that in such a changed and compelling international context, one where terrorism is showing that it respects no national borders, we need to be united, vigorous, and purposeful in our response. The review will set the direction of the UN system for the next 2 years, leading up to the fifth anniversary of the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy in 2016. It is therefore an opportunity to make the UN more relevant in the international effort to fight this destructive and deplorable malady confronting our world. Thank you, and that was the message by the President of the General Assembly. I will now give the floor to the representative of Burkina Faso, His Excellency Jerome Bougouma, Minister of Territorial Administration and Security.
Monsieur le Président de l'Assemblée générale, Excellences, Mesdames, Messieurs, je voudrais avant tout propos adresser mes remerciements au Président de l'Assemblée générale pour la tenue de la présente réunion de haut niveau consacrée au quatrième examen de la stratégie antiterroriste mondiale des Nations Unies. Monsieur le Président, la stratégie antiterroriste mondiale des Nations Unies est née de la volonté des États membres de se doter d'un instrument unique qui traite de façon holistique la question de la lutte contre le terrorisme. Elle a l'avantage de traiter à la fois du champ de la prévention et des mesures pour combattre le terrorisme. L'ensemble de ces mesures est consigné dans les quatre piliers de la stratégie qui sont, pour les États membres, la meilleure référence dans leurs actions de lutte contre le terrorisme. Le rapport du secrétaire général dont nous sommes saisis dans le cadre de cet examen, nous donne une bonne perception des avancées que les pays ont enregistrées dans la mise en œuvre de la stratégie antiterroriste mondiale et nous permet de cerner le caractère évolutif du terrorisme. Mon pays, le Burkina Faso, appuie fortement la pleine mise en œuvre de la stratégie antiterroriste mondiale des Nations Unies en tant que cadre global et efficace de lutte contre le terrorisme. Il réaffirme son soutien à l'équipe spéciale de lutte contre le terrorisme, dont les activités vont de la prévention et du règlement des conflits, au renforcement des capacités, à l'éducation, au maintien de la paix et à la santé, en passant par d'autres questions de développement qui trouvent leur place dans le débat d'aujourd'hui. Monsieur le Président, dans la sous-région du Sahel à laquelle appartient mon pays, qui est devenu le théâtre d'actes terroristes ou des attentats suicides, des prises d'otages sont perpétrées. Il est établi que les groupes terroristes auteurs de ces actes utilisent les fruits du crime transnational organisé pour parvenir à leur fin. C'est le lieu de condamner fermement l'enlèvement de lycéenne à Chibok, au Nigeria, le 14 avril 2014, par le groupe Boko Haram, ainsi que la poursuite des activités criminelles de ce groupe, ainsi que les attaques suicides contre les casques bleus au Nord Mali. Mon pays salue les efforts de coordination et de coopération que les pays de la sous-région mettent en place et qui visent à traiter ces phénomènes dans une approche intégrée. Le Burkina Faso est partie intégrante à la quasi-totalité des conventions et protocoles universels dans le domaine de la lutte contre le terrorisme. Au niveau régional et sous-régional, il ne ménage aucun effort pour assurer la bonne mise en œuvre de la Convention de l'Union africaine sur la prévention et la lutte contre le terrorisme adoptée en 1999, ainsi que du plan d'action de la CEDEAO sur le crime transnational organisé. Le gouvernement du Burkina Faso a diversifié son partenariat en y associant d'autres acteurs intervenant dans le domaine de la lutte contre le terrorisme, tout en continuant de travailler au niveau interne pour assurer son rôle régalien de protection des citoyens. Dans le cadre de ce partenariat diversifié, le gouvernement du Burkina Faso participe activement aux activités organisées par la direction exécutive du Comité contre le terrorisme, notamment celles relatives à la question des frontières et au renforcement des capacités en vue de la formulation de stratégies nationales ou régionales. Ainsi, pour la seule région 2013, le pays a co-organisé une série d'activités avec plusieurs partenaires. Il s'agit notamment de l'atelier sur la lutte contre l'extrémisme violent en Afrique de l'Ouest et au Sahel, co-organisé par le gouvernement du Burkina Faso, le Danemark et le Centre global de lutte contre le terrorisme et dont les conclusions ont permis la formulation d'un programme d'action pour la région. De l'atelier sur le renforcement de la coordination des mécanismes de prévention et de lutte contre le terrorisme, qui a servi de cadre dans le lancement de l'initiative d'assistance intégrée de la lutte contre le terrorisme pour le Burkina Faso. De l'atelier sur la prise en compte de la dimension droit de l'homme dans la lutte contre le terrorisme, qui a permis l'élaboration de curricula de formation sur les bonnes pratiques en la matière. De la visite en novembre 2013 au Burkina Faso du comité 1540 sur la non-prolifération nucléaire. À côté de ces initiatives, le gouvernement du Burkina Faso a continué de prendre des mesures encourageantes en vue de permettre un meilleur partage des richesses nationales et réduire autant que faire se peut la fracture sociale. Pour cela, il a su consolider un socle social basé sur le dialogue, la culture de la paix, la tolérance et la cohabitation pacifique. En matière de surveillance du territoire et de contrôle des frontières, le gouvernement du Burkina Faso a adopté des dispositions législatives et réglementaires en vue de renforcer les capacités opérationnelles des structures de contrôle aux frontières. Concernant la répression du financement du terrorisme et d'actes terroristes, plusieurs mesures ont été prises par notre gouvernement avec l'adoption en 2009 d'une loi relative à la lutte contre le financement du terrorisme et la mise en place de la cellule nationale de traitement des informations financières pour empêcher le blanchiment des capitaux. Dans le cadre de la bonne mise en œuvre du régime de sanctions contre les groupes et entités terroristes pouvant participer à la lutte contre le terrorisme, le gouvernement a établi un dispositif pour le gel des avoirs placés sous l'autorité du ministre de l'Économie et des Finances. Monsieur le Président, s'il est indéniable que la responsabilité première des États est engagé dans la lutte contre le terrorisme, force est de reconnaître que l'insuffisance des moyens financiers et techniques ne permet pas toujours aux différentes structures compétentes impliquées dans cette lutte de jouer pleinement leur rôle. C'est dire que la question de l'assistance technique aux États doit être traitée avec toute attention requise. Nous espérons que cette quatrième réunion d'examen renforcera la dynamique en faveur d'une plus grande coopération pour une mise en œuvre réussie la stratégie antiterroriste mondiale des Nations Unies. Le Burkina Faso réaffirme pour sa part son attachement à la stratégie antiterroriste mondiale et à toutes les autres initiatives qui concourent à la lutte contre le terrorisme. Pour terminer, je voudrais saisir cette occasion pour saluer tous les partenaires multilatéraux et bilatéraux qui œuvrent aux côtés du Burkina Faso et des autres pays du Sahel pour mener la lutte contre le terrorisme dans toutes ses dimensions. Cette lutte est commune et universelle et c'est du devoir de la communauté internationale de rester mobilisée contre ce phénomène mordide et inhumain qu'est le terrorisme. Je vous remercie.
Je remercie ministre Bougouma, ministre de l'administration territoriale et de la sécurité de Burkina Faso pour sa déclaration. And I now give the floor to the representative of Egypt who will speak on behalf of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. Mr. President, I have the honor to speak on behalf of the member states of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation on the fourth review of the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy. At the outset, the OIC expresses its sincere appreciation for the tireless efforts of His Excellency Ambassador Khalid Shafiq, the permanent representative of Turkey and his team in facilitating the consultations on the outcome of the fourth review of the United Nations counterterrorism strategy in an efficient and transparent manner. The OIC condemns in the strongest terms the seizure of the Turkish consulate in the Iraqi city of Mosul yesterday and the kidnapping of the consul general along with several staff members. We call for the immediate and safe release of those abducted. We also strongly condemn the terrorist attacks in Pakistan earlier this week, including the assault on Jinnah International Airport in Karachi, which resulted in loss of lives and injuries. We extend our deepest condolences to the families of the victims and the governments and people of Pakistan, and wish a speedy and full recovery to the injured. We also condemn in the strongest terms the terrorist attacks perpetrated by Boko Haram in northern Nigeria, as well as the abduction of schoolgirls in Nigeria last month, and we call for the early release of the abducted and an efficient combating of Boko Haram activities. Mr. President, the group reaffirms the principles of the United Nations Charter, particularly sovereign equality, territorial integrity, and political independence of member states. The OIC strongly condemns terrorism in all its forms and manifestations, including state terrorism, as well as individual and group terrorism committed by whomever, wherever, and for whatever purposes. The group also underlines the importance of upholding international law, international humanitarian law, the rule of law, human rights, and fundamental freedoms while countering terrorism. The group is committed to the implementation of the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy in a uniform, sustained, and comprehensive manner, bearing in mind that terrorism will not be defeated by military force, law enforcement measures, and intelligence operations alone. The OIC stresses the central role of the General Assembly in countering terrorism and in following up the implementation of the strategy, as it is the only United Nations body that enjoys universal membership. The group reiterates that the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy constitutes an ongoing effort, and that it is a living document which should be updated and examined regularly. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the strategy's success depends on a balanced implementation of its four pillars. The OIC reaffirms that there is a need to make a concerted and focused effort to effectively address the root causes and conditions conducive to the spread of terrorism as set out in Pillar 1 of the strategy. This includes preventing unlawful use of force and aggression, as well as ending foreign occupation and political, economic, and social injustices. The OIC continues to reject unequivocally any attempt to associate terrorism with any religion, nationality, civilization, or ethnic group. We believe that irresponsible statements that purport to associate terrorism with any religion or nationality or civilization are in themselves a clear incitement to terrorism. The group strongly condemns acts of violent extremism and incitement to commit terrorist acts. It affirms the importance of bringing to justice any person who supports, facilitates, participates, or attempts to participate in the financing, planning, or commission of terrorist acts. The OIC expresses its concern at the increase in incidents of kidnapping and hostage-taking committed by terrorist groups with the aim of raising funds or gaining political concessions. We underscore that the payment of ransoms funds terrorist activities, supports their recruitment efforts, and strengthens their operational capability to organize and carry out terrorist attacks. The OIC warns against attempts by non-UN entities to unfoundedly categorize states with regard to financing terrorism and requests all relevant United Nations bodies to address the issue of financing terrorism in an impartial, objective, technical, and non-political manner, and to take into account this important issue while dealing with such entities. The group also rejects the unilateral elaboration of lists accusing states of allegedly supporting terrorism. We consider such acts as inconsistent with international law and the purposes and principles of the UN Charter. The group expresses concern over violations of human rights while countering terrorism and the broader impact of armed drones attacks on individuals, psychological well-being of children, families, and communities, including interruption of education of children, undermining of religious and cultural practices, and the reluctance to assist the victims of drone attacks for fear of being caught in secondary strikes. Mr. President, transparency and coordination of the activities of the UN counterterrorism related entities should be enhanced. Duplication should be avoided. While the OIC supports institutional coherence of the United Nations, we also emphasize the importance of respecting the mandates of the various organs of the United Nations as outlined in the Charter. The group recognizes the importance of regular briefings on activities undertaken by the Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force during the past years. We commend the work of the task force and strongly encourage it to continue working with the same diligence and keep the member states updated with its work. We also encourage the task force to enhance its consultations with member states during the planning and preparation phase of its activities. Mr. President, the OIC stresses that the implementation of the strategy lies first and foremost in the hands of member states. We call for enhanced engagement of member states with the work of the Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force. The group firmly believes that the involvement of the United Nations specialized agencies, funds, and programs in the implementation of the strategy as a whole should not affect their mandates and operational activities. We note with appreciation the important work carried out by the United Nations Counterterrorism Center and its role in building the capacity of member states to counter and respond to terrorism. The group recognizes the need to strengthen support to member states upon their request in the national implementation of the strategy through enhanced technical assistance and capacity building based on their national priorities. Finally, Mr. President, I would like to reiterate the strong commitment of the OIC group to combat terrorism in all its forms and manifestations and assure our continued efforts to the implementation of the strategy in a comprehensive and balanced manner. I thank you for your attention.
I thank the representative of Egypt for his statement on behalf of the OIC. And I now give the floor to the representative of Costa Rica on behalf of the Community of Latin America and Caribbean State.
Mr. President, I have the honor to speak on behalf of the member states of the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, CELAC. At the outset, our group would like to express its appreciation for the outstanding and dedicated manner in which His Excellency Ambassador Halit Çelik, permanent representative of Turkey, and his team led the review process. Mr. President, the adoption of the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy by the General Assembly in September 2006 marked a significant breakthrough in the fight against terrorism, as member states recognized and committed themselves to a plan of action which expanded the global counterterrorism framework to include not only law enforcement and other security measures, but also measures to ensure respect for human rights and to address conditions conducive to the spread of terrorism, such as prolonged unresolved conflict, rule of law problems, violation of human rights, and social, economic, and political marginalization. The Community of Latin American and Caribbean States reiterates its strong and unequivocal condemnation of terrorism in all its forms and manifestations, committed by whomever, wherever, and for whatever purposes, and reaffirms its robust support to the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy. For these reasons, CELAC emphasizes the importance of redoubling efforts aimed at achieving an even attention and an integrated and balanced implementation of all four pillars of the scheme. In this regard, CELAC takes note of the Secretary General's report A/68/841 on the activities of the United Nations system in implementing the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy, which includes important inputs from all members of the task force and concludes with a number of observations and recommendations. CELAC notes with appreciation the Secretary General's recognition of the need for stronger coordination and coherence within the task force itself, and in this regard, notes the appointment of the Undersecretary General for Political Affairs as chair of the Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force and Executive Director of the United Nations Counterterrorism Center. Our countries hope that it will contribute to a more balanced implementation of the four pillars of the strategy. The group also notes the efforts by the Task Force Office to enhance coordination and coherence by drawing up a comprehensive matrix of all projects and activities being carried out by the 31 task entities, as well as through efforts to reform and revitalize its interagency working groups in order to promote coherence and reduce duplication and overlapping. Our group has consistently recommended measures in this regard and therefore welcomes these important efforts. Mr. President, the community of Latin American and Caribbean states shares some of the views expressed by the Secretary General in Chapter 5 of his report, and we fully endorse Paragraph 112, which states, and I quote, "Efforts to prevent and combat terrorism will fail if the international community creates more terrorists than it defeats by its actions. Adherence to Pillar 4 of the strategy by observing the universal norms of human rights and the rule of law in the international community's counterterrorism activities is essential to the success of its efforts. The Secretary General, therefore, strongly urges national authorities, particularly security and judicial bodies that are directly responsible for combating terrorism, to make more concerted efforts to mainstream human rights and the rule of law in their counterterrorism policies and practices." End of quote. In this context, CELAC underscores that the measures to combat terrorism must always be conducted in strict observance of international law, including human rights law, international humanitarian law, and the international law of refugees. Only those measures adopted in accordance with the UN Charter and other relevant international norms can be successful and garner broad support for the international community. Actions taken outside the international legal framework are unjustifiable, illegal, and unacceptable. I'm switching to Spanish now. Señor Presidente, en este sentido, la CELAC desea recordar la resolución de la Asamblea General 68/178 sobre la protección de los derechos humanos y libertades fundamentales en la lucha contra el terrorismo, adoptada por consenso el 10 de diciembre del 2013. Entre los diversos temas relevantes incluidos en dicha resolución, nuestros países desean resaltar el derecho a la privacidad, esencial para la dignidad humana, y un derecho humano fundamental, cuya protección es crucial para la defensa de los individuos de cualquier abuso de poder. Nos preocupa seriamente el impacto negativo que la vigilancia estatal y/o la interceptación de comunicaciones, incluidas las extraterritoriales, pueden tener en el ejercicio y disfrute de los derechos humanos. El grupo rechaza enérgicamente el uso de las tecnologías de información y comunicación en perjuicio de cualquier Estado y en violación al derecho internacional, y llama la atención sobre la importancia de asegurar que el uso de dichas tecnologías sean totalmente compatibles con los propósitos y principios de la Carta de las Naciones Unidas y del derecho internacional, especialmente los principios de soberanía, no interferencia en asuntos internos, el derecho a la privacidad y las reglas de convivencia pacífica entre Estados. Adicionalmente, recordamos que cualquier interferencia o restricción del derecho a la privacidad debe de estar adecuadamente reglamentado y sujeto a fiscalización, además de eventuales reparaciones, incluida la posibilidad de su revisión judicial o por otras vías que garanticen que las medidas no serán arbitrarias. En el marco de la lucha global contra el terrorismo, los países miembros de la CELAC reiteran su compromiso de intensificar esfuerzos para la protección del ciberespacio y la promoción de su uso exclusivamente con fines pacíficos y como vehículo de desarrollo económico y social. Asimismo, reiteramos nuestra convicción de que el combate al terrorismo debe realizarse desde la multilateralidad. En congruencia, rechazamos la elaboración de listas unilaterales acusando a estados de supuestamente apoyar y patrocinar el terrorismo. Estas acciones son inconsistentes con el derecho internacional. En relación con el establecimiento del régimen de sanciones para Al-Qaeda por parte del Consejo de Seguridad como una medida en la lucha contra el terrorismo, el grupo reconoce los avances del Comité de Sanciones 1267/1989 en procura de procedimientos más claros y justos. En este sentido, la CELAC apoya fuertemente el papel de la Ombudsperson, que ha mejorado significativamente la transparencia e imparcialidad en los procesos de desenlistamiento. Estamos convencidos de que la posición de la Ombudsperson debe de institucionalizarse y que el debido proceso en los regímenes de sanciones debe de continuar fortaleciéndose, en especial debido al carácter preventivo de esas medidas. Señor Presidente, la CELAC también quisiera reconocer el importante trabajo realizado por las organizaciones regionales y subregionales en la implementación de la estrategia y hace un llamado para que fortalezcan la cooperación entre sí con el fin de salir airosos en la lucha internacional contra el terrorismo. En este sentido, instamos a la Oficina de las Naciones Unidas para las Drogas y el Delito a que lleve a cabo actividades para la creación de capacidades en nuestra región y brinde apoyo técnico cuando así le sea solicitado, tomando en consideración las necesidades particulares y los intereses nacionales de nuestros países. Las herramientas creadas por dicha oficina, entre ellas la base de datos legislativa contra el terrorismo, la plataforma para la capacitación virtual y la asistencia técnica para contrarrestar el uso de Internet en la promoción del terrorismo, son sumamente útiles para la prevención y lucha contra esta amenaza. Señor Presidente, a pesar de los significativos esfuerzos y avances en la implementación de la estrategia, así reportados por el Secretario General en su informe, la CELAC continúa preocupada por el hecho de que el terrorismo sigue representando una seria amenaza, tanto para los Estados miembros como para la comunidad internacional en su conjunto. Nuestro grupo está convencido de que la única manera de contar con el marco legal requerido para una efectiva lucha contra el terrorismo será mediante la adopción de una Convención General sobre Terrorismo Internacional. En este sentido, hacemos un llamado a los Estados miembros para que se comprometan a resolver durante la 69ª sesión de la Asamblea General los temas pendientes que han sido obstáculo para el logro de la misma, en particular aquellos relacionados con la definición legal y el alcance de los temas que se incluirán en esta convención. Para terminar, señor Presidente, los miembros de la comunidad de Estados latinoamericanos y caribeños reafirman su profunda solidaridad con las víctimas de actos terroristas y enfatizan la necesidad de brindarles todo el apoyo que ellos requieran. Nuestro grupo confía que el portal para víctimas, inaugurado el día de ayer, les dará una voz y facilitará el acceso a cooperación. La CELAC también reitera la necesidad de evitar la impunidad de aquellos que cometen actos terroristas y en este sentido hacen un llamado a los Estados miembros para que continúen cooperando en esta lucha de conformidad con el derecho internacional. Muchas gracias, señor Presidente.
I thank the representative of Costa Rica for her statement on behalf of the community of Latin America and Caribbean states. I now give the floor to the representative of the European Union.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I'm honored to deliver on behalf of the European Union and its member states our contribution to the fourth review of the implementation of the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy. And we would also like to thank His Excellency Ambassador Halit Cevik, Permanent Representative of Turkey, and his team for all their facilitation efforts in this process. The candidate countries, Turkey, Montenegro, Iceland, and Serbia, the countries of the stabilization and association process and potential candidates, Albania and Bosnia-Herzegovina, as well as Ukraine, the Republic of Moldova, Armenia and Georgia, align themselves with this statement. International terrorism continues to pose a highly significant threat to global peace and security. Our response must evolve and develop to meet the threats of today and confront those of tomorrow. The phenomenon of foreign fighters, for example, poses an increasingly acute threat that we all must face. There is a need to adapt to the new developments in terrorism and take into consideration the implications drawn from recent terrorist attacks, such as the one that has taken place at the Jewish Museum in Brussels, Belgium, on May 24th. To meet these challenges, the deepening of the international consensus and enhancement of international efforts to combat terrorism continues to be a key objective for the European Union and its member states. Therefore, we fully support the United Nations' key role in the prevention of and fight against terrorism in full compliance with international law and human rights. We will continue to strongly support international counterterrorism cooperation and the promotion and the protection of human rights and the rule of law, where we find this to be its cornerstone. As the respect for human rights for all and the rule of law are the fundamental basis of the fight against terrorism and essential to all components of the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy, the European Union is disappointed not to see more language relating to this important pillar in the resolution. The European Union pursues an integrated approach to counterterrorism, combining prevention, protection, pursuit of, and response to terrorist threats and attacks. The approach is based on criminal justice, as well as on the promotion of the rule of law, and the protection of and full respect for human rights, which permits all European Union policies. Our objective, therefore, is to assist all countries through capacity building in the fields of the rule of law, criminal justice and law enforcement, and the protection and promotion of human rights in accordance with international standards. Security sector reform is crucial for the implementation of the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategies Pillar 2. Countries in transition are in need of ensuring sufficient capabilities to deal with old, new, and evolving terrorist threats. It should focus on an approach based on the rule of law and respect for human rights to efficiently and credibly prevent and fight terrorism. We also believe that financing of terrorism, and in that context, organized crime, such as money laundering, illicit drug trafficking, kidnapping for ransom, or human trafficking, should be given more attention in the field of security sector reforms. Terrorism can also feed off and increase political instability. There cannot be any sustainable development without peace and security, and without development, there will be no lasting peace. The nexus between security and development, particularly in view of the post 2015 development agenda, needs to be mainstreamed throughout all the national policies. The European Union thus promotes a comprehensive approach to counterterrorism, which includes security and development activities at national, regional, and international level to better address the conditions conducive to the spreading of terrorism. The European Union very much welcomes the United Nations strategic framework, in particular the strong focus on the prevention of terrorism and countering violent extremism. The phenomenon of radicalization to terrorism can be best addressed at a level closest to vulnerable individuals and in the most affected communities, including through engagement with non-governmental organizations, frontline workers, women, civil society organizations, including victims groups, as well as local authorities, academia, schools, law enforcement, and security officials. Education and youth exchanges are areas which provide a unique opportunity to help young people to think critically about extremist views and discourses, and can help expose such malign propaganda. In this context, the European Union welcomes the Global Counterterrorism Forum initiative for the creation of the Global Community Engagement and Resilience Fund. Assistance to victims of terrorism and their families is a key part of the European Union counterterrorism efforts. We aim to enhance the representation of victims' interests at European Union level and to raise awareness among European citizens in order to strengthen European solidarity with victims of terrorism. In this context, the European Union and its member states welcome the web portal for victims created by CTITF as an important initiative to raise global awareness and to assist member states with support programs for victims and their families. The European Union and its member states are encouraged by the United Nations commitment to strengthen the coordination of relevant United Nations agencies and initiatives. Enhanced cooperation between CTITF, CTED, and other UN bodies is indispensable for increasing the effectiveness of the CT strategy. The European Union supports a more focused role on the United Nations Counterterrorism Center in the implementation of the United Nations counterterrorism strategy. The European Union shares the Secretary General's view that the United Nations Counterterrorism Center must first and foremost be efficient in its delivery of resources for counterterrorism assistance. In this context, the European Union and the participating member states in the advisory board of the Center seek to play a decisive role in assisting the Center to define its future priorities so that it could become, within the CTITF, a Center of Excellence with its own role and added value. The European Union is prepared to offer its support and expertise. Moreover, the European Union encourages closer coordination of the United Nations actions with other key multilateral and regional initiatives, including the Global Counterterrorism Forum with its action-oriented approach on coordination of counterterrorism capacity-building measures, which could provide valuable contributions to the United Nations review and assisting the implementation of the counterterrorism strategy. Through its various initiatives, such as the Hedaya Center of Excellence for Countering Violent Extremism in Abu Dhabi and the International Institute for Justice and the Rule of Law in Malta, to which the United Nations has greatly contributed through its input and expertise, important synergies can be created and scarce human and financial resources can be conserved. We must also cooperate more closely with civil society and the private sector to address challenges faced online while protecting the right to privacy and freedom of speech. The European Union has had a forum with key players in the industry to discuss opportunities for closer cooperation and supports the production and dissemination of counter-narratives to this respect. The European Union welcomes the fact that the Security Council has taken significant steps to further reinforce fair and clear procedures for United Nations sanctions. The European Union commends the Ombudsperson's work and reiterates its support to her unwavering efforts. Mr. President, in conclusion, the European Union views the United Nations report as a useful step forward towards preventing and countering terrorism and violent extremism in a comprehensive and multilaterally coordinated manner, with full respect for human rights and the rule of law. Therefore, we fully support the report, and in this respect, we are prepared to assist all countries in building adequate capacities and by sharing our expertise. The fight against and the prevention of terrorism requires a long-term commitment, as well as sustainable, transparent, and credible structures. While even this will not entirely eradicate terrorism, we are convinced that it will substantially contribute to reducing terrorism in the long run. The biennial review is a valuable indicator for member states to detect implementation gaps. However, 2 years is a very short period to implement long-term counter-terrorism strategies and action plans. Following the 10th anniversary of the UN Global City Strategy in 2016, the European Union and its member states suggest that both the implementation of the strategy and the review cycle should be fully reconsidered, including through regular needs assessment reports, to ensure that the United Nations has a contemporary response to the ever-changing nature of terrorism. The European Union stands ready to play an active role in this respect. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank the representative of the European Union for her statement. Et je voudrais maintenant donner la parole au représentant de l'Algérie, son Excellence Monsieur Razak Bara, conseiller politique du président.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Bismillah. السيد الرئيس، أود في البداية أن أتوجه إلى معالي رئيس الجمعية العامة السيد جون آش بعبارات الشكر والتقدير لما يوليه من أهمية لموضوع مراجعة استراتيجية الأمم المتحدة لمكافحة الإرهاب، كما أتوجه بالشكر إلى سعادة السفير خالد سيفيك الممثل الدائم لتركيا على الجهود التي بذلها في تنسيق أعمالنا، كما أهنئه على النجاح الذي كلل به عمله من أجل التوصل إلى توافق على مشروع القرار المتعلق بهذه المراجعة الرابعة للاستراتيجية. وفي هذا المقام يود وفد الجزائر أو يؤكد وفد الجزائر انضمامه إلى المداخلة التي ألقاها في هذا الشأن سعادة السفير الممثل الدائم لجمهورية مصر العربية الشقيقة باسم منظمة التعاون الإسلامي، ويغتنم وفد بلاد هذه المناسبة للتنديد مجدداً وبأقوى العبارات بكل أشكال الإرهاب وتجلياته، بما في ذلك الأفعال والنشاطات التي يترتب عليها، وعلى وجه الخصوص دعمه وتشجيعه وتبريره والترويج له بطريقة مباشرة أو غير مباشرة. سيد الرئيس، إن الإرهاب لا دين ولا وطن له ولا مبرر له، ولا يمكن إلصاقه بأي ثقافة أو حضارة أو أي مجموعة إنسانية بعينها. سيد الرئيس، تؤكد الجزائر دعمها التام والمبدئي للاستراتيجية الأمم المتحدة لمكافحة الإرهاب، كما يثني وفد بلادي على الجهود المتميزة التي قامت به فرقة العمل لمكافحة الإرهاب من أجل إعمال الاستراتيجية، وذلك من خلال تنسيقها للهيئات والمنظمات التي انخرطت في تطبيق هذه الاستراتيجية. وأشير في هذا الصدد إلى ضرورة أن نبقي الوثيقة المتضمنة الاستراتيجية مفتوحة وقابلة للتنقيح والإثراء والتكيف مع المستجدات ومع مقتضيات مكافحة الإرهاب بما في ذلك التحديات الجديدة التي تشكلها هذه الآفة العابرة للأوطان، كما يؤكد وفد بلادي على ضرورة التطبيق الشامل والمتكامل للاستراتيجية بركائزها الأربعة، حيث أن التقدم الذي سجل في إرسائها منذ المراجعة الثالثة عام 2012 يحتاج إلى المزيد من الجهود الإضافية في إطار العمل على تحقيق أهدافها خلال السنوات المقبلة. ولا يفوتني هنا أن أذكر بالأهمية البالغة التي يكتسيها إرساء العمل بالاستراتيجية من خلال توطيد التعاون على المستويات الثنائية والإقليمية والدولية وتعزيز القدرات وتبادل أفضل الممارسات والتجارب في مجال مكافحة الإرهاب، كما لا يفوتني أن أنوه بالمجهودات الفعالة التي بدر بها مركز الأمم المتحدة لمكافحة الإرهاب والدور المحوري الذي يلعبه في إرساء دعائم الاستراتيجية العالمية لمكافحة الإرهاب، مع التركيز على تشجيع الدول الأعضاء لتوفير الموارد المالية والبشرية المناسبة لهذا المركز. من جهة أخرى أود أن أشير إلى الخطوة التي ترمي إلى إنشاء منصب منسق الأمم المتحدة يعنى بمكافحة الإرهاب، وأريد في هذا السياق أن أعرب عن تطلعنا إلى اكتمال المشاورات بهذا الشأن ووضع جميع الترتيبات المناسبة مما في ذلك الصلاحيات والولاية التشريعية المنوطة بهذا المنصب الذي ما من شك فيه سيأتي كآلية جديدة وفعالة للتنسيق والترابط بين جميع الفاعلين ضمن الاستراتيجية العالمية لمكافحة الإرهاب. سيد الرئيس، اسمحوا لي الآن أن أستعرض أمامكم عدداً من الجوانب الرئيسية المتعلقة بالمقاربة التي انتهجتها الجزائر في مجال مكافحة الإرهاب والنابعة من تقييمنا الوطني للمخاطر والتحديات التي تشكلها هذه الآفة على المستوى الوطني والجهوي، والنابعة من تقييمنا للمخاطر والتحديات التي تشكلها هذه الآفة. وترتكز هذه المقاربة إلى حد بعيد على ضرورة تجنيد الجبهة الداخلية لهذا الغرض، وعليه فإن البعد السياسي ذو أهمية قصوى. من هذا المنظور يعتبر ميثاق السلم والمصالحة الوطنية الذي بادر به السيد رئيس الجمهورية والذي اعتمد باستفتاء شعبي عام 2005 بمثابة الأرضية المتينة التي مكنت من إعادة الأمن المدني واسترجاع التلاحم الوطني وإلى تفعيل التماسك والتضامن داخل المجتمع، حيث مكنت هذه السياسة من وضع حد للمأساة الوطنية مع تقديم كل وسائل التعويض والدعم لضحايا الإرهاب والعناية بذويهم، كما مكنت من في الوقت نفسه من دفع عجلة التنمية الاقتصادية والاجتماعية من خلال برامج تنموية متكاملة وطموحة ساهمت في امتصاص البطالة وفتح آفاق للشباب وتشجيع الاستثمارات المنتجة. السيد الرئيس، لن يكتب لمكافحة الإرهاب نجاحاً دائماً ما لم تؤخذ بعين الاعتبار معالجة مشاربه الإيديولوجية ومنابعه الفكرية ومحاربة الخطاب التحريضي المتطرف الذي يدفع ببعض الفئات الأكثر ضعفاً والأقل مناعة لقابليته أو لقابلية تلقيه والتأثر به. وبناء عليه عملت الجزائر على تطوير برامج الإرشاد الديني عملاً بالرسالة المحمدية السمحاء وتفعيل مقررات تعليمية وتربوية وثقافية متعددة المجالات تروج المبادئ الأساسية للتسامح والسلم وحقوق الإنسان. كما دابت الجزائر عبر الإصلاحات السياسية وإعادة النظر في منظومتها الدستورية على توطيد قيم الديمقراطية ودولة القانون وحماية الحريات العامة والمضي قدما في مسار الإصلاحات الاقتصادية والمؤسساتية الشاملة وإرساء دعائم التنمية والرقي الاجتماعي والحد من الفوارق. سيد الرئيس، لسياسة الجزائر في مكافحة الإرهاب العابر للأوطان بعدا إقليميا بالغ الأهمية يتمثل في التعاون الوطيد والمتعدد الأشكال مع دول منطقة الساحل الإفريقي التي عرفت في السنوات الأخيرة وبوتيرة أكثر خلال الشهور الماضية توترات وتحديات خطيرة متمثلة في توسيع رقعة نشاطات الجماعات الإرهابية وعلى وجه الخصوص ما يسمى بتنظيم القاعدة في المغرب الإسلامي. قد عملت الجزائر مع دول الجوار على تعزيز التعاون لمكافحة ظاهرة الإرهاب في المنطقة، وقد تجسد ذلك في وضع آليات متعددة والتي تقر بضرورة معالجة الأوضاع الأمنية والتحديات السياسية في قالب يحترم سيادة الدول ووحدتها الوطنية مع فتح المجال للشراكة والتعاون في الميادين التنموية والاقتصادية والإنسانية. وفي هذا الصدد، إن الانفلات الأمني في بعض دول المنطقة وتفاقم النشاطات الإرهابية مرتبط أيضاً باستفحال ظاهرة تهريب الأسلحة والاتجار بالمخدرات. وفي هذا الصدد يود وفد بلادي أن يدق مرة أخرى ناقوس الخطر وأن يلفت الانتباه إلى ضرورة مكافحة تمويل الإرهاب بأكثر حزم وثبات، وإلى محاربة ظاهرة الاختطاف وحجز الرهائن والمساومة على تحريرهم لقاء دفع فدية أو الحصول على تنازلات سياسية، حيث أصبحت هذه الوسيلة تضر على الجماعات الإرهابية أموالاً طائلة تضاعف من قدراتها الفتاكة. سيد الرئيس، تعبر الجزائر عن ارتياحها لمستوى التعاون مع آليات الأمم المتحدة ولجانها المتخصصة في مكافحة الإرهاب، ونخص بالذكر البرامج التكوينية التي تم إعدادها في الجزائر بالتنسيق مع منظمة الأمم المتحدة لمكافحة الجريمة والمخدرات والمديرية التنفيذية للجنة مكافحة الإرهاب ولجنة العقوبات ضد القاعدة المنبثقة من القرار 1267-1989 لمجلس الأمن. من جهة أخرى، إن عضوية الجزائر في المنتدى العالمي لمكافحة الإرهاب يعد تأكيداً إضافياً لالتزامها الثابت بالمشاركة في أي مسعى جدي يعزز التعاون الدولي لمكافحة الإرهاب. وتترأس الجزائر مناصفة مع كندا الإشراف على مجموعة العمل المعنية بتعزيز القدرات لمكافحة الإرهاب في منطقة الساحل الإفريقي، كما احتضنت وشاركت منذ 2011 في العديد من النشاطات التنسيقية والتقييمية لتعزيز القدرات وتبادل الخبرات للحصول على أفضل الممارسات لمعالجة الظاهرة الإرهابية من جميع جوانبها. وفي الختام، سيد الرئيس، تأمل الجزائر بأن القرار الذي سيترتب على أعمالنا في هذه الجلسة سيكون لبنة إضافية وفعالة في مسعانا الجماعي لمكافحة الإرهاب العابر للأوطان. وشكرا والسلام.
Je remercie le représentant de l'Algérie pour sa déclaration, son excellence Razak Bara, conseiller politique du président. And I now give the floor to the representative of Turkey, His Excellency Erdogan İskan, who is deputy under secretary general of the Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, may I first express our thanks, Mr. President, for the convening of the fourth biennial review of the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy to review progress and update our response to the evolving challenges. I would also like to extend our appreciation to Secretary General Ban Ki-moon for his comprehensive report. We welcome the new summary metrics of counterterrorism projects implemented by the United Nations around the world, which will be a valuable instrument for better coordination. Turkey firmly believes that, by virtue of its universal representation and capacity to interlink various aspects in addressing terrorism, the United Nations continues to have a central role to play in combating this scourge. Mr. President, I wish to inform you that the Turkish Foreign Minister, Ahmet Davutoğlu, was scheduled to be here. But after his arrival in New York to address this august body, he was compelled to return to Turkey in view of the developments in Iraq. At this juncture, Mr. President, I think it would be relevant and thus appropriate to share information in regard to the ongoing crisis in Iraq resulting from the horrific attacks by ISIL, the Islamic State of Iraq, and the Levant. The attacks by ISIL have broad security implications for Iraq, the region, and the international community, establishing once again the transboundary nature of the growing terrorism threat. This is a telling example of the proportions of the threat of terrorism that we are facing. Later, Mr. President, if you allow, I also wish to convey the views of my government on the review of the global counterterrorism strategy. Mr. President, ISIL launched attacks on 6 June in Mosul. At present, we may assume that ISIL has at least 3,000 heavily armed militants operating in Mosul and its vicinity. The number of internally displaced persons, IDPs, is estimated to have reached around 500,000. Meanwhile, the Turkish government has already commenced a campaign to provide humanitarian assistance. Furthermore, I also wish to give brief information in regard to the Turkish Consulate General in Mosul. Upon launching of attacks by ISIL in Mosul, the Iraqi security forces fled the region, and those responsible to protect the Consulate General also abandoned their positions. This situation was reported to the government of Iraq. Meanwhile, the fast-developing circumstances did not allow the secure evacuation of the mission. On 11 June, early in the morning, a 900-strong, heavily armed ISIL militant group seized the consular premises and moved its personnel, including the consul general, as well as the family members of the staff, to another area of the city. Altogether, there were 49 staff and family members, with 2 babies among them. Moreover, 31 of our citizens have been taken hostage by the same group in a power plant in the Gyara region. Currently, intensive efforts are underway and we have mobilized all available means to secure their safe return. We also have a number of citizens in the region. We are taking all possible measures to ensure their safety. Representations have been made to the Iraqi government as well as to the international organizations, including the UN and NATO. The attacks by ISIL have broad security implications for Iraq, the region, and the international community, establishing once again the transboundary nature of the growing terrorism threat. This is a telling example of the dimensions of the terrorism threat that we are facing. Mr. President, distinguished participants, As for the global strategy, the success depends on the ability of the member states to implement all four pillars of the strategy in a balanced manner. It is also crucial to use our existing tools and mechanisms effectively, in particular those we have established under the framework of the United Nations. The bad news is that the threat of terrorism has proliferated ideologically and geographically. It has become less predictable and more atrocious. It evolves faster than ever. On the other hand, the good news is that we now know more about the dynamics of terrorism and collective capabilities against this transnational threat is enhanced considerably. The adoption of the Global Counterterrorism Strategy by this August Assembly in 2006 was a landmark in that regard. I reaffirm Turkey's full commitment to combating terrorism in all its forms and manifestations. As emphasized by various General Assembly resolutions, it is of critical importance that terrorism is not associated with any religion or ethnicity. The global strategy provides good guidance for all. As the report before us elaborates articulately, in the run-up to the 10th anniversary of the adoption of the strategy, we must make a concerted and focused effort on the preventive aspects of counterterrorism. At the same time, we must give a clear message to terrorists. There is no safe haven or immunity from justice. For that, we have to ensure firmly implementation of the universal principle of either prosecute or extradite. No act of terrorism should go unpunished. While this is critical for our collective efforts for countering terrorism, perhaps more significantly, we owe this to the victims of terrorism. In recent years, it has become more evident that new trends such as threat from self-radicalized individuals, growing exchange among locally active terrorist groups, and increase in the number of attacks on economically or otherwise sensitive infrastructure require agility in our responses. Further, we know by experience that the threat of terrorism spreads due to the violent and turbulent conflicts. Sustained conflicts not only provide groups involved in terrorism an opportunity for recruitment, but also safe havens to increase their warfare capabilities. These facts compel us to enhance coherence, complementarity, and dexterity of our existing counterterrorism measures. By developing new approaches and tools, we need to find the right balance between hard and soft power alternatives. Turkey takes resolute action to implement the global strategy and support various UN initiatives with a view to promoting the integrated implementation of the strategy. Our first and foremost priority is to enhance international cooperation and, where necessary, to assist capacity-building efforts. In this regard, we have concluded bilateral agreements in the field of security cooperation, fight against terrorism and transnational organized crime with about 70 countries. On the national front, we continue to align our counterterrorism legislation with the international instruments. Since the last reporting period, Turkey has put into place the new countering financing of terrorism law in February 2013 and its implementing regulation in May 2013. A landmark in our counterterrorism legislation, the law introduced a mechanism of asset freezing as foreseen by Financial Action Task Force. In addition to our bilateral efforts, we continue to engage in a regional and international efforts to counter terrorism. Currently, together with the United States of America, we co-chair the Global Counterterrorism Forum, which is an informal and consultative global platform dedicated to complement the work of the United Nations. We employ intensive efforts to create synergies between regional organizations such as the OSCE, the Council of Europe, and the GCTF, Global Counterterrorism Forum. Last but not least, we give our utmost support to efforts aiming to enhance dialogue and broaden understanding among various civilizations. Our co-chairmanship of the United Nations Alliance of Civilizations Initiative is the outcome of our resolve against any kind of polarization and intolerance. Mr. President, Turkey is proud to have facilitated the resolution on the outcome of the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy. We look forward to continuing our cooperation with all partners for its implementation. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank His Excellency Erdogan İskan for his statement, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Hasan Clark, Deputy Minister for Foreign Affairs of Indonesia.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me begin by expressing our appreciation to the Secretary General for his comprehensive report on the activities of the United Nations system in implementing the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy. Let me also thank the Permanent Representative of Turkey for facilitating the discussion on the outcome of this fourth review of the strategy in which we support for its adoption. My delegation wishes as well to associate itself with the statement of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation delivered earlier by distinguished representative of Egypt. Mr. President, the report of the Secretary General clearly indicates that the threat of terrorism persists. As a response, all of us, without exception, must not only remain vigilant, but also prevent and preempt these heinous acts. We need not only to match, but should overcome existing challenges and threats. United Nations must continue to play its instrumental role in the global cooperation to prevent and combat terrorism. Indonesia, on its part, remains committed to a balanced and comprehensive implementation of the four pillars of the strategy. Despite the so many progresses we have achieved in preventing and combating terrorism, there is still indeed homework to do ahead of us. In light of this, the fourth review of the Global Counterterrorism Strategy provides us with an opportune juncture to learn from each other. As a departing point, we hold that terrorism in all its form and manifestation only amounts to the destruction of human lives and breach of peace. Therefore, no reason whatsoever can justify or rationalize acts of terrorism. Upon that conviction, Mr. President, I would like to highlight one assertion in the report of the Secretary General that countering the incitement to terrorism should play a more important role in the implementations of the strategy. Terrorism indeed cannot and should not be associated with any religion, nationality, civilizations, or ethnic groups. Indonesia believes that responding to the practice of manipulating religions for the use of terrorism must become an integral part of our counterterrorism measure. In doing so, we must promote tolerance and empower the society, in particular the moderates, religious leaders, and civil society. Mr. President, being a multicultural country, Indonesia believes strongly in the efficacy of dialogue. Dialogue will not only bridge differences, but also bring up understanding. And in our experience, understanding is the greatest recipe for tolerance and harmony. As we are once a victim of terrorist attacks, fostering dialogue among different faiths constitutes an integral part of Indonesian strategy to counter incitement to terrorism. To date, we are taking this initiative a step further by facilitating dialogues between convicted terrorists and the moderate clerics under the umbrella of the de-radicalization program. To sustain the program and to make sure it reaches its intended result, the government of Indonesia has outlined de-radicalization blueprint and national program on de-radicalization, and the blueprint incorporates rehabilitation, reintegration, and re-education program for convicted terrorists, particularly those who have almost completed their sentences, in order to prepare for their return and reintegrate into society and disengage them from the previous or former groups. The blueprint also comprises of strategy for empowering the society and the media to make the voice of tolerance and harmony more sustainable. Looking to another perspective, it is not without reason to say that the moderates, as well as promotion of dialogue, can be effective remedy to the increasingly alarming issues of foreign fighters. We appreciate the Secretary General for giving attention on this issue in the report. We share the concern that the so-called foreign fighters would one day return to their home country and bring in their radical ideology. Mr. President, preventing and suppressing the financing of terrorism is also a critical part in our counterterrorism. It is thus important for states to have capacity to identify, freeze, and seize assets of individuals or entities that are affiliated to terrorist organizations. Indonesia has enacted law on the prevention and suppression of the financing of terrorism. The law lays down the necessary foundation for criminalizing terrorist financing and for freezing assets belonging to individuals or entities that are affiliated to terrorism. We are confident that this implementation of this law will help Indonesia to prevent and suppress the financing of terrorism, while we remain observant to its responsibility to respect the rule of law. As part of our review process, multilateral cooperation against terrorism, including the central role of the United Nations in aid, must continue to enjoy prominence. In this spirit, I would like to congratulate Secretary General's efforts in strengthening synergy among the 31 entities under the Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force. We encourage these efforts to be strengthened in order to increase efficacy, avoid duplication, and ensure the project carried out by all entities have a significant impact on the ground. Moreover, the United Nations is indeed expected to be more instrumental as well as decisive in resolving prolonged conflict and instability in certain parts of the world. Indonesia takes note of the observations of the Secretary General in his report that terrorist groups continue to take advantage of political turbulence and weak governance to further their cause. We have seen that terrorist groups have exploited such conditions to recruit and groom new converts. These facts again underline the importance of rule of law and the capacity of states to implement it, and in accordance to the principle of national ownership. Mr. President, the different level of capacity of state in implementing the global counterterrorism strategy necessitates us to intensify capacity building cooperation. In this respect, Indonesia continues to contribute in the strengthening of the capacity of states in preventing and combating terrorism. This role is reflected through the efforts of the Jakarta Center for Law Enforcement Cooperation as a prominent training center for law enforcement officials. Since its inception in 2004, the center has trained more than 15,000 law enforcement officials from 70 countries. Indonesia is also of the view that ratifying or acceding to International Convention on Counterterrorism by taking into account different capacity of state to carry out obligation emanating from the convention is also crucial to further global cooperation. It is in this spirit that Indonesia has ratified 8 conventions relating to terrorism, including the International Convention for the Suppression of Acts of Nuclear Terrorism that we ratified earlier this year. Indonesia is now in the process of ratifying more international conventions on counterterrorism, such as the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of Crimes Against Internationally Protected Persons, including diplomatic agents, and the International Convention Against the Taking of Hostages. Let me conclude, Mr. President, by highlighting that the global counterterrorism strategy has provided us with a comprehensive and internationally accepted strategy for combating this menace. This effort against terrorism, however, can only be successfully prosecuted, provided the measures agreed upon within the strategy are consistently implemented in a balanced and comprehensive manner. My delegation believes that this multifaceted, integrated, and coordinated measure should be fully undertaken by all the stakeholders. Together, they will be addressed the conditions that are conducive to the spread of terrorism, prevent and combat terrorism, build state capacity, strengthen the role of the United Nations system, and ensure respect for human rights for all and the rule of law as the fundamental basis for the fight against terrorism. It has always been the view of Indonesia that only such an all-embracing approach can help us combat terrorism effectively. And only together, all of us, without exception, can we combat it successfully. And I thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Excellency, for your statement. And I now give the floor to His Excellency Gonzalo de Benito, Secretary of State for Foreign Affairs of Spain.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. Deseo comenzar agradeciendo al presidente de la Asamblea General la organización del ejercicio de revisión y manifestar nuestro reconocimiento al representante permanente de Turquía como facilitador de la resolución del cuarto examen de la estrategia. Al mismo tiempo, expresar toda nuestra solidaridad de España con Turquía con ocasión de las acciones que han tenido lugar en la ciudad de Mosul, acciones terroristas de las que han sido víctimas ciudadanos y funcionarios consulares turcos. Señor presidente, el texto propuesto recoge positivas mejoras en materia de víctimas del terrorismo, algunas de ellas propuestas por España, así como en otras cuestiones que actualizan la lucha contra un terrorismo en constante evolución, con aspectos cada vez más preocupantes como los combatientes terroristas extranjeros o los vínculos con el crimen transnacional organizado. La realidad es que el terrorismo sigue siendo una amenaza global y en constante evolución. Mientras asistimos a una proliferación de grupos locales o de proyección regional, comprobamos también la existencia de terroristas en solitario, capaces de golpear de modo impredecible en cualquier escenario. Nadie, ningún país, puede sentirse totalmente libre de este riesgo contra los más elementales principios de civilización y de convivencia. Especialmente trágicos son los desafíos que afectan en la actualidad al continente africano, del Sahel y el Mediterráneo hasta el África Oriental, y el recrudecimiento del terrorismo en Nigeria, con un riesgo de extensión en África Central. Para lograr una respuesta efectiva contra esta lacra, necesitamos una perspectiva integral de seguridad y de desarrollo, incidiendo en el primer pilar de la estrategia. Y debemos contar más que nunca con la cooperación internacional. España entiende que el marco multilateral de legitimidad y consenso de las Naciones Unidas a través de la estrategia global es la mejor respuesta para la lucha contra esta lacra. Para aplicar debidamente este valioso instrumento, es importante mantener una adecuada coordinación y coherencia interna en los órganos encargados de la lucha contra el terrorismo en el ámbito de las Naciones Unidas. En particular, además de los órganos de sanciones, el equipo especial de aplicación de la estrategia, la dirección ejecutiva del Comité contra el Terrorismo y el Centro de Naciones Unidas contra el Terrorismo. Nos congratulamos especialmente por las generosas contribuciones de Arabia Saudita, que abren amplias perspectivas para esta última entidad y para la reflexión de su Consejo de Gobierno. Contamos asimismo con el trabajo del Foro Global contra el Terrorismo, en el que deseamos difundir y compartir análisis, recomendaciones y buenas prácticas para la formación y la asistencia técnica con la plena participación de las Naciones Unidas y en beneficio de toda la comunidad internacional. Señor presidente, de modo creciente comprobamos el protagonismo de Internet y las redes sociales en tareas de radicalización y reclutamiento. Nuestra respuesta deberá realizarse con una vigilancia y una firmeza que sea al mismo tiempo compatible con el pleno respeto a los derechos civiles y políticos y contar para ello con la colaboración del sector privado. En el marco del conflicto en Siria, el fenómeno de los combatientes terroristas extranjeros que puedan representar una amenaza a su regreso a sus lugares de origen constituye un desafío nuevo que no se limita al ámbito europeo u occidental. Debemos asumir con plena conciencia la gravedad de este reto, que es de carácter global y requiere un refuerzo de los intercambios de información policial y de inteligencia. También de medidas a nivel local para la prevención de estos desplazamientos, además del control y posterior rehabilitación de los que hayan regresado. Quisiera finalizar mi intervención con una referencia al firme compromiso de España con las víctimas del terrorismo, que ayer pudimos reconfirmar con nuestro apoyo a la creación del nuevo portal de Internet en el seno del equipo de aplicación de la Estrategia Global. Nuestra apuesta por las víctimas debe incluir no solo las necesarias manifestaciones de solidaridad, sino nuestro compromiso de prestar un catálogo mínimo de medidas de asistencia, protección y compensación. Solo de este modo podrán ser las víctimas mensajeros eficaces de nuestro sistema de valores y libertades contra el terrorismo y la injusticia gratuita y cruel que representa. España ha sabido derrotar al terrorismo con el testimonio ejemplar de sus víctimas y los medios del Estado de Derecho, con un sistema de justicia penal plenamente respetuoso de los derechos humanos. Este principio es irrenunciable en nuestra lucha, en primer lugar porque es una obligación moral para todos, pero también porque el pleno respeto del Estado de Derecho nos permite preservar el orden jurídico de nuestro sistema de convivencia. Muchas gracias.
I thank His Excellency Gonzalo, Secretary of State for Foreign Affairs of Spain. I now give the floor to His Excellency Rafael Seguis, Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Philippines.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Your Excellencies, distinguished representatives of various country delegations, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It has been almost a decade since we moved from platitudes of platform in the fight against terrorism with the historic adoption of the United Nations, of the UNGCTS, and plan of action in 2006. The Philippines has been facing constant threats of terrorism during the past decades, so that during our third biennial review, we inform you of our new laws against money laundering and terrorist financing, which strengthen our landmark law on terrorism. The Financial Action Task Force took note then of our efforts against money laundering and counterfeiting and the financing of terrorism. For this fourth biennial review, our resolve remains clearer than ever. I join all eminent speakers and other delegations before and following after me in renewing our commitment against terrorism, one of the gravest threats to international peace and security. We also extend our appreciation to the Secretary General for his comprehensive report on the implementation of the strategy. Its exhaustive attachments inform us of our contribution to implement the four pillars of the strategy and its plan of action. In our continued endeavor to fulfill our part in the global effort against terrorism, I am pleased to report that the Philippines has had successes in its recent efforts. Mr. President, on 23 March 2013, an Australian national, Warren Rodwell, was released by the Abu Sayyaf group 15 months after his abduction. On 4 December 2013, after 18 months in captivity, Jordanian journalist Bakr Atiani of Al Jazeera was released. On 20 December 2013, a Taiwanese tourist was rescued by Philippine security forces less than 1 month after his abduction. On 23 December 2013, senior Abu Sayyaf group leader Fraser Hajjan was killed after resisting arrest in a shootout with police authorities. On 20 February 2014, a Filipino-Algerian documentary filmmakers were recovered less than 1 month after being kidnapped. On 30 May, just 2014, just recently, a Filipina named Marcy Dayawan and a Chinese national of the mainland China, Gao Hua Kuan, were released in Sulu in southern Philippines after their kidnapping in a Malaysian resort in Simporna, Sabah. Just yesterday, a joint Philippine military police forces captured in Parañaque City, Metro Manila, Cair Mundos, also known as Abu Ayman, a leader of the Abu Sayyaf terror group wanted in the United States and who acknowledged receiving Al-Qaeda funds to finance bombings in the Philippines. The United States has offered in 2009 $500,000 bounty for the killing or capture of the Abu Ayman, while the Philippine government through its Department of Interior and local government had offered 1.2 million pesos for the same purpose. I have to stress that all of the foregoing are in the furtherance of Pillar 2 of the UNGCTS, although we can never be too complacent as the fight continues. In terms of legislation, Mr. President, our anti-terrorism law is being further strengthened, while three draft bills on namely strategic trade management involving dual-use goods, chemical weapons convention, and biological weapons convention are all being actively pursued in the Philippine Congress. In fact, just late last month, during the visit of Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, the Philippines signed a memorandum of understanding on combating international terrorism with Indonesia, a manual for collaborative intelligence, investigation, and prosecution of terrorism-related cases has been developed with UNODC. There is also the partnership with the International Center for Counterterrorism on counter-radicalization and de-radicalization, which developed a national operational framework. On 6 March 2013, the European Union and the United Nations Interregional Crime and Justice Research Institute established the Southeast Asia Regional Secretariat of the CBRN Risk Mitigation Center of Excellence in Manila and started to work on a CBRN National Action Plan with the Philippine government. All these efforts, Mr. President, again are part of the continuing efforts of the Philippine government to address Pillar 3 of the UNGCTS. On the local front, there is the target hardening program with the intent of raising the security awareness in communities as well as training them as force multipliers in monitoring and preventing terrorist attacks against vital installations and critical infrastructures, economic key points, and places of convergence. The Philippines has continued its grassroots-based efforts to help communities understand and protect themselves against extremist and terrorist propaganda. In fact, sports have also been a tool, like the annual Football for Peace, which brings children from selected conflict areas to Manila, not only for sports clinics, but also to transform their outlooks in life from a culture of violence to that of a culture of peace. All of these efforts, Mr. President, are meant to address conditions conducive to the spread of terrorism, or Pillar 1 of the UNGCTS. There is also the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Convention on Counterterrorism, which builds an effective criminal justice system by providing more legal tools for law enforcement and judicial authorities to fight terrorism, but which also respect, protect, and uphold the rule of law, particularly civil liberties and human rights. This clearly, Mr. President, evidences the fact that the Philippine government remains cognizant of its obligation under Pillar 4 of the UNGCTS. We recognize firsthand that fighting this evil in all its forms and manifestations is very complex and difficult. But rather than submit to fear and paralysis, all the more, we have become undaunted and determined. Mr. President, with the strategy and plan of action, we have passed the point of no return. They distill our shared experience and best practices. We look forward to sharing stories on their national implementation as we seek to further improve them. We must remain even more vigilant. The fight against terrorism should only unite us in the spirit of the purposes and principles of the UN Charter. I cannot end, Mr. President, without adding our congratulations to Ambassador Halit Çevik, permanent representative of Turkey, for his masterful facilitation of our consultations. He continues to guide us through the details without missing the big picture, leading us to a consensus resolution that we are poised to adopt. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Excellency, for your statement. And I now give the floor to His Excellency Pereira Ames Lima, Deputy Minister of Home Affairs of the United Republic of Tanzania.
Mr. President, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, the United Republic of Tanzania welcomes the convening of the fourth biannual review of the Global Counterterrorism Strategy. At the outset, we wish to thank the facilitator of the discussion, Ambassador Yasser Halit, permanent representative of Turkey, for his excellent work. The adoption of the Global Counterterrorism Strategy in 2006 marked an important milestone in our collective fight against terrorism. The strategy provides us with an invaluable platform for coordination and multidimensional response to the challenges posed by terrorism. One of the lessons we have all learned is that because of its breadth and reach, the three The threat of terrorism may only be overcome through concerted action and cooperation. In that vein, Tanzania has sought to ratify and implement relevant global and regional instruments against terrorism. We have also enacted national legislations to foster the implementation of our national strategy, as well as regional and international undertakings. Addressing the root causes of the scourge is our priority. Mr. President, we believe that dealing with the conditions conducive to the spread of terrorism, as stated in Pillar 1, is the best means to prevent the recurrence of this phenomenon in the long term. It is our stand that giving priority to preventive aspects means tackling the underlying causes of terrorist acts, many of which are fueled by the situations of social exclusion and injustice. It is also necessary to promote democratic values, political, ethnic, and religious tolerance along with cooperation and social and economic development. Mr. President, terrorist acts continually are becoming sophisticated, which makes it essential to strengthen cooperation and coordination among others to prevent and combat all forms of terrorist financing, such as piracy, drugs and arms smuggling, and trafficking. Coordination must be stepped up in other areas, including information sharing and strengthening legal frameworks. It is in this regard that my country has taken a variety of measures, including enhancing its national legal framework, strengthening measures against money laundering, and enhancing all legal measures for preventing and prosecuting transnational crimes. Mr. President, let me raise the issue of illicit proliferation of small arms and light weapons and its relevance in terrorist acts, especially in Africa. Having read the draft, it is apparent that this matter has not attracted the deserving attention. Allow me to remind this body that the easy access to small arms and light weapons, coupled with their misuse, is frequently fueling terrorist attacks. It will therefore be a remiss for the draft to be silent of the fight against illegal proliferation of small arms in our effort to combat terrorism. Mr. President, in keeping with Pillar 3, building states' capacity to prevent and combat terrorism is a vital aspect of global strategy. We thank the states that have worked with us both in the region and elsewhere in support of the strategy. In this regard, we wish to recognize the support of our colleagues in SADC and EAC, both of which Tanzania is a member and with whom we have regular working groups and joint initiatives. Mr. President, distinguished delegates, respect for human rights for all and the rule of law, as stated in the Pillar 4 of the strategy, is crucial in fighting terrorism and therefore should not turn into a clash between religion, as terrorism has neither faith nor nationality. It is also important to let the victims speak by giving the survivors a voice. Too often than not, the victims are twice hit. First, physically by the attack, and secondly, in their dignity as human beings, when the murderers get all the attention and the victims and survivors and their families are forgotten and left alone. Mr. President, in conclusion, it is our belief that we need to meet the growing challenge of terrorism. We are duty bound to continue promoting close cooperation between all stakeholders. It will therefore be helpful for this fourth biennial review of the global counterterrorism strategy to address strengthened coordination as well as emerging problems, such as the victims of terrorism and the matters of foreign combatants. We are confident, as Tanzania, that these are areas that we can make immediate impact. I thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Excellency, for your statement. And I now give the floor to the representative of India.
Thank you, Mr. President. My delegation would like to thank you for scheduling this meeting, at the conclusion of which we'll be adopting Resolution A/68/L50 of the General Assembly on the implementation of the United Nations Global Counterterrorism Strategy. We would like to express our thanks to our distinguished colleague, Ambassador Halit Cevik of Turkey, for having so ably facilitated the adoption of our consensus resolution this year. On this occasion, my delegation would like to join others in expressing our shock at the attack by terrorists on a diplomatic post of Turkey in Iraq yesterday. Since the beginning of this year alone, such wanton terrorist acts have sought to rend asunder the fabric of life in many of our countries, including Afghanistan, Belgium, Djibouti, Egypt, Ethiopia, Iraq, Lebanon, Libya, Kenya, Madagascar, Nigeria, Pakistan, the People's Republic of China, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. We particularly feel the pain and anger of our distinguished Turkish colleague today, reminded as we are of a similar heinous act of terrorism executed recently against India's diplomatic post in Herat, Afghanistan, less than a month ago. Mr. President, we have been actively engaged under your leadership in setting the stage for the post-2015 development agenda. We have been reviewing many initiatives taken by us collectively here at the United Nations to strengthen, diversify, and reform this unique multilateral institution founded by us almost 70 years ago. In the context of this ambitious collective endeavor, we strongly believe, on the basis of empirical as well as emotional evidence, that no condition can ever justify or excuse any act of terrorism, and nor can there be any recourse to, quote, conducive, unquote, conditions to explain such inhuman, willful acts of destruction. We therefore strongly believe, Mr. President, that when commemorating its 70th anniversary next year, the United Nations must reiterate upfront its commitment to zero tolerance of terrorism in all its forms. Mr. President, the main strength and relevance of the United Nations is its treaty-based character. India, as a founder member of the United Nations under Article 3 of the UN Charter, takes special pride in having contributed significantly over these almost seven decades to this strength. All these efforts of ours, however, come to naught if we are being constantly derailed by the threat and challenge of terrorism. India was among those countries which identified almost 20 years ago the need for the United Nations as the repository of codified international law to build a holistic legal architecture that would address the global threat posed by terrorism. Since 1996, when we began negotiating such a legal instrument, terrorism has metastasized like a virulent form of cancer into a transnational monster. We cannot afford our usual glacial pace of negotiations to put in place the legal structure we need to counter terrorism, which infects all the pillars of our United Nations system, namely international peace, security, development, and human rights. Mr. President, India's initiative in proposing in the General Assembly the idea of a comprehensive convention on international terrorism, or CCIT, came out of the extensive debates all of us participated in at that time. It also came from our historic role even before the United Nations was founded in negotiating, signing, and ratifying the 1937 Convention for the Prevention and Punishment of Terrorism, which was under the League of Nations. Unfortunately, due to the outbreak of the Second World War, that convention did not enter into force. I recall this background today because the grief on the faces of our colleagues from many countries impacted by terrorism compels us to focus on the urgent need to conclude and adopt the CCIT. As has been agreed in the ad hoc working group of the Sixth Committee, which is drafting this instrument, without the CCIT, there exists a major legal lacuna in enabling effective international cooperation in the prosecution of terrorism.
when terrorism is unanimously acknowledged as a major transnational threat, and in view of the fact that all of us reaffirm that terrorism, and I quote, cannot and should not be associated with any religion, nationality, civilization, or ethnic group, unquote, the time has surely come to agree to bridge our differences in defining what terrorism is. The time has come, in fact, for all of us, including colleagues from those countries who are now facing the brunt of terrorist acts themselves, to agree to conclude the CCIT by the date we mark the 70th anniversary of the founding of the United Nations in September 2015. Mr. President, we have participated actively in the deliberations and drafting of the General Assembly resolution, which will be adopted by consensus at the end of this meeting. This resolution is a substantive review, as required by GA Resolution 66/282 of 29th June 2012, of how we in the United Nations have progressed in implementing our global counterterrorism strategy adopted in September 2006. As the resolution we are going to adopt shows, we are all acutely aware of the challenges that lie ahead. Emerging new threats, evolving trends of international terrorism, the abuse of information and communication technologies, all of which are vulnerabilities of an increasingly globalized, interlinked international community, require us to become more dynamic and responsive in our responses. Member states who have to confront such threats, both old and new, in a more immediate context, have already taken such measures. India, for example, has taken important steps towards strengthening its strategic, legal, and operational framework in the fight against terrorism. Our laws incorporate provisions dealing with all aspects of terrorism, including conspiracy and incitement to terrorism. Our laws criminalize the raising of funds for terrorist activities, holding of proceeds of terrorism, harboring of terrorists, unauthorized possession or use of any bomb, dynamite, or hazardous explosive substance or other lethal weapons. India has concluded more than 40 bilateral treaties on extradition and mutual legal assistance in criminal matters. We have more than 24 joint working groups with member states, including with all our permanent 5 partners in counterterrorism. India is a member of other intergovernmental initiatives taken to counterterrorism, such as the Global Counterterrorism Forum, the Financial Action Task Force, and the Eurasia Group. We stand ready to share our national experience in countering terrorism with interested member states. Mr. President, turning now to the assistance given to member states by the UN Secretariat in implementing the GCTS, we find the Distinguished Secretary General's report A/68/841, dated 14th April 2014, a very interesting document. At the outset, we must note that the work of counterterrorism in the Secretariat is being implemented in parts by 31 entities. However, there is no one point of coordination for all these activities. In this context, we see merit in considering the proposal of a counterterrorism coordinator in the United Nations Secretariat. Among the improvements since our last review in 2012, the report highlights the activity of the CTITF. We note that the major outcome and focus of the CTITF's activity is in the area of capacity building. A second major development is the work of the UNCCT. India, as a member of the advisory board of the UNCCT, notes with appreciation the attempts being made to prioritize its capacity building and awareness raising activities, especially among member states in Africa. As we have stated in the meetings of the advisory board, the UNCCT should engage more actively with member states through a structured discussion on how it can be more relevant to the efforts of member states in implementing the 4 pillars of the global counterterrorism strategy. By doing so, the UNCCT will be better placed to utilize its regular budget allocations, as well as the very generous grant of $100 million announced to it by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in August 2013. The report, however, is troubling in some of its assertions, particularly in the analysis in paragraphs 10 to 19 dealing with developments in international terrorism. Similarly, we see the necessity to discuss how to overcome the issues mentioned in paragraphs 33 to 37 dealing with challenges of preventing and resolving conflicts, as well as paragraphs 74 and 75 on the operation of the sanctions regime mandated by UN Security Council Resolution 1267. We have a special interest in paragraphs 97 and 98, which propose initiatives with regard to the victims of terrorism. We note with great concern the views in paragraph 104 that despite the existence of the global strategy and the efforts of the member states, the threat of terrorism has not been effectively countered. Due to all these reasons, Mr. President, my delegation would strongly urge that the 69th session of the General Assembly have an extensive discussion of the shortcomings of the global strategy, which we can report to our leaders who will meet here in New York in September 2015 to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the United Nations. We make this proposal because of the fact that the global strategy itself was mandated by our leaders at the 2005 60th anniversary summit of the United Nations, and it would be most appropriate for us to provide them with such an assessment for their due consideration when they are adopting the post-2015 development agenda. I thank you.
I thank the representative of India for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Russian Federation.
Благодарю вас, господин председатель. Господин председатель, уважаемые участники, Российская Федерация решительно осуждает терроризм во всех его проявлениях. Последовательно выступает за наращивание эффективного международного антитеррористического сотрудничества при центральной координирующей роли ООН на основе соответствующих принципов и норм международного права и, разумеется, без двойных стандартов. Рассматриваем в качестве ключевого элемента таких усилий реализацию глобальной контртеррористической стратегии ООН, которая гармонично увязала силовой и мягкий компоненты антитеррора, нацелила государство на выполнение профильных резолюций Совета Безопасности и Генеральной Ассамблеи ООН. Актуальной остается задача укрепления международно-правовой базы антитеррора, расширения круга участников профильных международных договоров. Среди приоритетов – скорейшее заключение под эгидой ООН всеобъемлющей конвенции о международном терроризме. В Российской Федерации интенсивно ведется работа по выполнению глобальной контртеррористической стратегии. Национальным антитеррористическим комитетом разработан и осуществляется специальный план, предусматривающий комплексный подход к борьбе с терроризмом. Пристальное внимание уделяем развитию антитеррористической законодательной базы, созданию и обеспечению эффективного функционирования профильных институтов, совершенствованию правоприменительной практики. Особый акцент делаем на противодействии экстремистской идеологии и устранении условий, способствующих распространению терроризма. Задействуем потенциал гражданского общества и деловых кругов. Подробная информация о выполнении ГКС представлена Российской Федерации Генсекретарю ООН в рамках подготовки к сегодняшнему заседанию, отражена в приложении к его докладу Генассамблеи. Российская Федерация выступает за сохранение нынешнего сбалансированного формата ГКС, который позволяет этому документу оставаться универсальной платформой для борьбы с терроризмом. Чем сложнее и комплекснее становится задача противодействия терроризму, тем более возрастает роль государства и их профильного сотрудничества. Это составляет фундаментальную основу реализации ГКС. Государства, разумеется, должны активнее осваивать новые пути взаимодействия с гражданским обществом. Однако важно, чтобы линия на поддержку вовлеченности в антитеррор неправительственных структур не противопоставлялась принципу уважения государственного суверенитета, обязанностям и ответственности государств в вопросах обеспечения безопасности. В условиях эволюционирующих террористических рисков Россия акцентирует необходимость наращивания международных и национальных усилий на таких приоритетных направлениях ГКС, как предупреждение радикализации общественных настроений, противодействие насильственному экстремизму, особенно замешанному на ультранационализме и неонацизме, использование в террористических целях информационно-коммуникационных технологий. Поддерживаем работу целевой группы секретариата по имплементации ГКС на этих направлениях. Исходим из того, что совместные усилия государств, международных организаций НПО должны быть сконцентрированы на продвижении альтернативного любому криминалу развития, создании общества, полностью отвергающего террористическую и экстремистскую идеологию. Важно поставить заслон набирающие обороты тенденции вплетения терроризма в ткань современных региональных и иных вооруженных конфликтов. В результате могут ослабляться и даже разрушаться, кстати, не без помощи извне, основы государственности, что опять же играет на руку террористам и экстремистам всех мастей. К чему приводит экспансия терроризма и зон вооруженных конфликтов, наглядно свидетельствуют нынешние драматические события в Ираке, где боевики из группировки «Исламское государство Ирак и Левант» захватили территорию этой страны, часть территории этой страны, и турецких дипломатов в городе Мосул. В этом контексте на первый план начинает выходить проблема участия граждан различных стран в таких конфликтах на стороне террористических организаций, прежде всего Аль-Каиды и ассоциированных с ней группировок. Эти структуры методично осуществляют вербовку новых сторонников, берут на себя их подготовку, финансовое и ресурсное обеспечение, доставку в горячие точки, идеологическое обоснование их противоправной деятельности. Такие новобранцы распространяют экстремистскую идеологию, проводят вербовочную работу и занимаются организацией террористической активности в других странах. Одним из эпицентров террористической активности по-прежнему остается конфликт в Сирии. В этой стране воюют выходцы из государств арабского пояса, также рекруты из России, стран Европы, Центральной Азии, Закавказья и Северной Америки. Разумеется, феномен иностранных террористов-боевиков не ограничивается зоной сирийского конфликта. С аналогичными проблемами международное сообщество сталкивается в афгано-пакистанском регионе, на территории Ирака, Мали, Ливии, других горячих точках. Особую опасность представляет возвращение части боевиков в страны происхождения или постоянного проживания. Одним из условий их возвращения является прохождение ими дополнительной снайперской или минно-взрывной подготовки и принятие обязательств по дальнейшему участию в террористической деятельности. При возвращении ими предпринимаются повышенные меры конспирации, включающие смену установочных данных и постоянного места жительства. Сформировалась угроза создания, прежде всего в странах исхода, новых террористических структур, укомплектованных, например, как афганскими маджахедами, так и ветеранами сирийского конфликта. Россия активно подключилась к работе по этой теме на различных международных площадках, включая ШОС, Глобальный контртеррористический форум, ОБСЕ, Совет Европы. Надо действовать на упреждение, чтобы не допускать направления рекрутов террористического интернационала в зону вооруженных конфликтов. В борьбе с этим новым вызовом необходим системный подход, сочетающий в том числе обмен информацией, меры по усилению пограничного контроля, работу на транспортных коммуникациях с целью выявления прибывающих из зон конфликтов боевиков, совместные мероприятия по сбору доказательной базы участия джихад-туристов в террористической деятельности. Важно активизировать двусторонние каналы сотрудничества по линии спецслужб и правоохранительных органов, пограничных, таможенных и миграционных структур. Целесообразно также усилить сотрудничество между финансовыми разведками государств, принимая во внимание, что без обеспечения финансовой подпитки деятельность террористов-боевиков вряд ли возможна. Полезным могло бы оказаться использование потенциала Международного банка данных по противодействию терроризму. На состоявшемся 8-9 апреля текущего года в Сочи 13-м международном совещании руководителей спецслужб, органов безопасности и правоохранительных органов обсуждалась идея задействования сегмента банка для обмена в режиме реального времени конфиденциальной информации о боевиках, возвращающих страны исхода. Необходимо адаптировать национальное законодательство под эффективное противодействие вызовам, связанным с террористами-боевиками. В Российской Федерации уже приняты законодательные меры, предусматривающие привлечение к уголовной ответственности лиц, участвующих в международной террористической деятельности. Федеральным законом от 2 ноября прошлого года введена уголовная ответственность за прохождение обучения в целях осуществления террористической деятельности, за организацию террористического сообщества и деятельности террористической организации и участие в них. Отвечая на вызовы террористического туризма, Уголовный кодекс устанавливает ответственность за участие в вооруженном формировании, не предусмотренном законодательством Российской Федерации, а также участие на территории иностранного государства в вооруженном формировании, не предусмотренном законодательством данного государства, в целях, противоречащих интересам России. В настоящее время нарабатывается практика применения указанных норм с целью привлечения к ответственности за соответствующую преступную деятельность. Выступаем за активное международное сотрудничество по предотвращению использования частных военных компаний и охранных агентств в целях вербовки, подготовки и направления в зоны вооруженных конфликтов террористов и наемников. Считаем, что для решения этих задач можно было бы активнее использовать потенциал Конвенции Совета Европы о предупреждении терроризма 2005 года, которая содержит важные положения о криминализации вербовки и подготовке террористов, а также подстрекательства к терроризму. Конвенция открыта для присоединения, в том числе государств, не входящих в Совет Европы. Рассчитываем на вклад профильных структур Совета Европы, ОБСЕ и других региональных организаций в углубленное изучение этой темы и подготовку соответствующих рекомендаций, которые могут оказаться востребованы и на ООНовской площадке. Реализация мер противодействия феномену иностранных террористов-боевиков должна осуществляться при соблюдении баланса между обеспечением безопасности, основополагающих прав и свобод, включая первостепенное право человека на жизнь. Внимание следует уделять реинтеграции бывших боевиков в общество, разумеется, в соответствии с требованиями национального законодательства. Господин председатель, слаженные действия российских спецслужб и правоохранительных органов с их партнерами с целого ряда государств обеспечили безопасность Олимпийских и Паралимпийских игр в Сочи. Во многом способствовали их успешному проведению. Готовы наращивать такое сотрудничество. Кроме того, задействование инструментов спортивной дипломатии могло бы стать важнейшим направлением работы по предупреждению терроризма и иной преступности, вовлечение в их ряды молодежи. Заинтересованы участвовать в реализации соответствующих международных проектов. Существенный вклад в разъяснение причин радикализации и экстремизма, отсутствие связи между радикализмом и подлинным исламом могли бы внести структуры гражданского общества, представители различных конфессий. Местные религиозные общины призваны играть весьма полезную роль в профилактике радикальных настроений, повышая осведомленность, особенно среди молодежи, о соответствующих рисках и превентивных шагах в целях удержания ее от вовлечения в террористическую и иную экстремистскую деятельность. В этом контексте хотели бы привлечь внимание к состоявшейся в марте прошлого года в Москве, текущего года в Москве, международной конференции по тематике противодействия радикализации общественных настроений, питающих терроризм. Наряду с представителями международных организаций ООН, Совета Европы, ОБСЕ, неправительственных структур и научного сообщества существенный вклад в ее проведение внесли лидеры традиционных религиозных общин. Намерены и далее развивать на различных международных площадках тематику противодействия радикализации, уделяя повышенное внимание упреждающим профилактическим мерам, пресечению финансирования экстремистских и террористических организаций, развенчанию их идеологии. В этих целях важно задействовать структуры гражданского общества, в том числе СМИ, религиозные организации, академические и деловые круги. Считаем по-прежнему востребованной реализацию международных проектов антикриминального и контртеррористического партнерства государства с бизнесом. Одна из таких инициатив, выдвинутая в 2006 году российской компанией «Норильский никель», направлена на противодействие незаконному обороту сырья драгоценных металлов, за счет которого финансируется транснациональная преступность и, вероятно, в определенной степени террористические группировки. Ключевым результатом проекта на данном этапе стало принятие в апреле 2013 года Комиссии ООН по предупреждению преступности и уголовному правосудию выдвинутой России ЮАР резолюции о борьбе с транснациональной организованной преступностью и ее возможными связями с незаконным оборотом драгоценных металлов. В соответствии с этим документом ЮНИКРИ должен провести до конца текущего года всеобъемлющее исследование для изучения возможностей связей между транснациональной оргпреступностью и другими видами криминальной деятельности, включая терроризм и незаконный оборот сырья драгоценных металлов. Рассчитываем на продолжение работы под эгидой Управления ООН по наркотикам и преступности и Всемирной туристской организации в области усиления защиты туристического сектора от криминальных и террористических угроз. Подготовленный в прошлом году УНП на эту тему доклад подтверждает заинтересованность государств в ее углубленном изучении. На этот глобальный вызов мировому сообществу необходимо дать адекватный ответ. Полезным была бы выработка с участием заинтересованных бизнес-структур международных рекомендаций с целью снижения террористических рисков для туристической индустрии. В заключение хотел бы подчеркнуть, господин председатель, приверженность России целям ГКС. Намерены и далее активно реализовывать стратегию на национальном уровне, участвовать в международном антитеррористическом сотрудничестве с учетом ее положений, активно делиться с заинтересованными партнерами накопленным опытом в сфере контртеррора. Благодарю за внимание.
I thank the representative of Russian Federation for his statement, and I give now the floor to the representative of Norway.
Mr. President, I would like to thank the Secretary General for the informative report on the implementation of the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy and recommendations on the way forward. The threat of terrorism has not been reduced since the last review conference. Rather, it is evolving in new and challenging ways. New terrorist groups emerge and take advantage of instability in various parts of the world, in particular in the Middle East and Africa. The lines between terrorism, armed conflict, and organized crime are increasingly blurred. The threat from so-called lone offenders remains. Norway's first-hand experience with the brutality of terrorism in July 2011 was committed by a self-radicalized offender acting alone. International cooperation against terrorism must adapt to this changing landscape. The need for the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy and coordinated action by member states is as strong as ever. Member states have the primary responsibility for implementing the strategy. Norway has made good progress in doing so, both at home and across the globe. Last year, Norway adopted its first national counterterrorism strategy based on the five terms prevent, protect, deny, cooperate, and respond. In January, Norway ratified the International Convention for the Suppression of Acts of Nuclear Terrorism and has, by doing this, ratified all international conventions related to terrorism. Earlier this week, the government presented a new action plan for prevention of radicalization and violent extremism. Through a whole-of-government approach, the action plan will address radicalization and violent extremism both at home and abroad. Early intervention and building on existing structures is emphasized. The action plan also addresses the issue of internet radicalization. At the global level, Norway has provided voluntary contributions through the Center, the Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force, the Counterterrorism Executive Directorate, UNODC, and other UN entities to assist member states in their counterterrorism efforts and in implementing the strategy. Mr. President, the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy provides for a balanced, integrated, and holistic approach, and Norway embraces all four pillars of the strategy. Norway welcomes the emphasis the UN is placing on countering violent extremism and addressing conditions conducive to the spread of terrorism. Terrorism can only be defeated through a long-term approach. Focusing on the factors that make individuals choose the path of terrorism is important in this regard. Community-level engagement, counter-narratives, and de-radicalization programs are important tools in the CVE toolbox. It is important that these tools are tailored to local needs and challenges. Norway welcomes the establishment of a new Global Community Engagement and Resilience Fund. Respect for human rights and the rule of law is the starting point for all our efforts against terrorism. Grave violations of human rights can create conditions conducive to the spread of terrorism. Norway remains convinced that effective counterterrorism and the promotion and protection of human rights and respect for the rule of law are mutually reinforcing. The Secretary General noted in his report increasing concern over the impact of counterterrorism measures on principled humanitarian action. As called for by the independent study commissioned by the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs and the Norwegian Refugee Council, published in July 2013, closer cooperation between the humanitarian community and donor states is needed. Norway is concerned about the growing number of foreign fighters in areas of instability and conflict. Not only are they causing a negative impact on an already fragile situation, but they may pose a threat when returning to their place of origin or travel to other areas of instability. The prosecutor's office in Norway has recently indicated 3 Norwegian citizens for terrorist activities on behalf of ISIS in Syria. Increased international cooperation is necessary to address the issue of foreign fighters. Mr. President, the United Nations has a particular responsibility for coordinating global efforts against terrorism. We appreciate the work of CTITF, CTED, UNCCT, UNODC, and other entities. However, further strengthening of the UN's role is needed to ensure that the international community's efforts are as closely coordinated and integrated as possible. In particular, there is a need for improvement in 4 areas. 1, internal coordination and coherence among UN headquarters, field offices, and member state capitals. 2, enhanced strategic communication within the UN and with external partners. 3, fostering more integrated responses among members of the CTITF and their partners. And 4, strengthening engagement with UN field and regional offices. Civil society can provide valuable input to the implementation of all 4 pillars of the strategy. Norway encourages civil society to increase its engagement and underlines the importance of establishing mechanisms for such engagement. The post-2015 development agenda highlights the importance of addressing conflict to ensure development progress. By 2030, more than 80% of world poverty is estimated to be concentrated to conflict-affected and fragile states, many of whom are faced with the challenges of terrorism. The impact of terrorism on development is illustrated by the recent abduction of more than 200 schoolgirls in Nigeria. Not only is this a horrifying experience for the girls and their families, it is also an attack on their right to education. There is a need for counter-terrorism actors to deepen engagement with UN peace and security actors and development entities in addressing the broader agenda. In closing, Norway welcomed the adoption of the UN counter-terrorism strategy in 2006, and I would like to reiterate our commitment today. Norway will work to enhance not only our domestic counter-terrorism efforts, but also our efforts at the bilateral, regional, and global level. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Norway for his statement. Et je voudrais maintenant donner la parole au représentant de la France.
Monsieur le Président, permettez-moi de vous remercier pour l'organisation de cette réunion et de saluer les efforts de l'ambassadeur Halid Čević, dont l'implication a pleinement contribué au succès de cette 4e révision de la stratégie antiterroriste mondiale. Je voudrais aussi saisir cette occasion pour adresser un message de solidarité à la Turquie après l'enlèvement absolument odieux et inacceptable de ses ressortissants et de ses diplomates en Irak. La France s'associe au discours prononcé par la représentante de l'Union européenne et je souhaiterais ajouter quelques mots en complément. Le terrorisme reste aujourd'hui une menace majeure pour la paix et la sécurité internationale et se caractérise plus que jamais par sa persistance et sa nature particulièrement évolutive. La communauté internationale se trouve confrontée à un phénomène toujours plus diffus, endogène, et violent, comme le montre notamment le processus d'autoradicalisation à l'origine de la tuerie de Bruxelles le 24 mai dernier. Il est alimenté par une maîtrise toujours plus efficace des réseaux de communication par les filières terroristes, ce qui leur permet de diffuser largement leurs messages de haine, de recruter et de former toute une nouvelle génération de terroristes. Nous souhaitons à ce titre dénoncer fermement l'instrumentalisation de la religion dans le seul but de justifier leurs actes. Ce ne sont ni des combattants, ni des djihadistes, mais bien des criminels. Dans des régions entières, les groupes terroristes, de plus en plus mobiles, parviennent à s'implanter et à se développer. En Afrique de l'Ouest, et notamment au Nigeria, les victimes innocentes sont directement menacés par des attaques de grande ampleur ou par des actes abjects comme l'enlèvement récent de 200 jeunes filles. La France s'est d'ailleurs mobilisée avec les États de la région et d'autres partenaires lors du sommet de Paris pour la sécurité au Nigeria le 17 mai dernier. La France, comme de nombreux autres pays, est particulièrement préoccupée par la question des volontaires qui souhaitent rejoindre les groupes terroristes agissant dans les zones de conflit. Ils constituent une menace grandissante pour leur pays d'origine dans l'hypothèse d'un retour et d'une façon générale pour l'ensemble de la communauté internationale. Nous nous réjouissons que la résolution que nous allons adopter appelle les États à coopérer davantage pour enrayer ce phénomène. Elle complète opportunément les mesures que nous avons prises pour mettre à jour notre dispositif antiterroriste national, notamment notre plan de lutte contre la radicalisation violente et les filières terroristes adopté en avril dernier. Celui-ci a pour principaux objectifs d'entraver les déplacements des terroristes principalement vers la Syrie, d'assurer la prévention, la réinsertion, le contre-discours et la contre-propagande sur Internet, et enfin de renforcer les capacités d'action judiciaire contre les filières terroristes. Monsieur le Président, la France souhaite en outre rappeler son attachement au rôle essentiel joué par les Nations Unies dans la lutte contre le terrorisme. Nous considérons en effet qu'elle reste aujourd'hui, compte tenu des caractéristiques nouvelles du terrorisme, un acteur incontournable pour mobiliser l'ensemble des États membres et renforcer sur le long terme leur capacité et la cohérence de leurs actions. C'est pourquoi la France apporte son soutien inconditionnel à la promotion et à la mise en œuvre de la stratégie antiterroriste mondiale des Nations Unies. À cet égard, je souhaiterais rappeler qu'il est important de continuer à développer tout particulièrement les efforts sur la mise en œuvre du pilier 4 de la stratégie consacrée aux droits de l'homme. Par exemple, en multipliant les projets qui sont encore trop peu nombreux liés à cette thématique. La promotion de l'état de droit et le respect des droits de l'homme restent sur le long terme la meilleure garantie de l'efficacité de notre combat contre le terrorisme. Nous portons par ailleurs un intérêt tout particulier aux initiatives multilatérales telles que celles menées par le Forum global contre le terrorisme. C'est en effet une lutte antiterroriste efficace en phase avec les problématiques actuelles et émergentes et fondée sur une coopération internationale toujours plus étroite que la France s'attache à soutenir. Et dans cette logique, nous nous réjouissons de l'inauguration la semaine prochaine à Malte de l'Institut international pour la justice et l'état de droit dont la France est membre fondateur. Institut qui permettra de renforcer les capacités des États d'Afrique du Nord, de l'Ouest et de la Corne de l'Afrique en formant une nouvelle génération de fonctionnaires au traitement des affaires de terrorisme. Monsieur le Président, il est louable que l'Assemblée générale ait pu à nouveau trouver un consensus sur notre stratégie antiterroriste commune. Il s'agit là d'un heureux rappel du caractère universel de la condamnation du terrorisme et de la mobilisation sans cesse renouvelée que cette menace justifie. Soyez assurés, Monsieur le Président, que la France reste déterminée à tout faire pour que les Nations Unies soient plus fortes pour lutter contre le terrorisme sous toutes ses formes. Je vous remercie.
Le représentant de la France pour sa déclaration. Nous avons entendu le dernier orateur inscrit pour le débat sur ce point à la présente séance. Nous entendrons les orateurs suivants à 15 heures dans cette même salle. La séance est levée.